Well, my wife and I, my wife Helen and I, we are glad to be with you, brethren, and to look to the Lord to minister His word to us today. Well, what does the Bible say about church membership? Well, we'll consider that in a little while, but we thank God, right, that we are in His church. We belong to His body. As a body is a life, so it is. They say how you spell the word church. A church is no church when you are not in it. Right? The center of the word church is you are. Are you in it? Yes. Right. What does God's word have to say about being members of His body? Does being a member mean simply attending worship service every Sunday? I'm faithful in giving my tithes. And as in every kind of membership, right? Be it a sports club or a soccer school. You see, if you want to belong to their body, you have to fulfill certain responsibilities, right? Like paying a fee, come down for training, and all kinds of things, right? So, there are certain responsibilities laid upon us being members. There are also certain privileges that people do not enjoy. We do, because we belong to that certain club, right? Even we park our cars, will be free, right? You go to SAFRA, you can park your car there. You're not a SAFRA member, you have to pay. Right. So it is like that, right? So let us begin with an understanding of what the church is and what does it mean to be a part of a body life. The word which is translated church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. Ek is out. Kaleo is called. Those who are called out once, called out of the world, right? It appears more than 100 times in the New Testament, but it's never used to describe a building. Remember, church is you are in it. It is the person. Okay. In most cases, the word church refers to a particular local church or assembly of believers. Right? Apostle Paul in Romans 16:5 says, "Greet the church that is in their house." So in summary, the church is an assembly of believers or Christians. Call out of the world, call out especially the redeemed of God. Okay? So there are certain principles that pertain to the local church. The church is made up of believers or converted members. I mean, or convert, you know, convert to Christ. The Apostle Peter's opening greetings to the Corinthians and the Colossian churches tell us that the church has a converted church membership. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Unto the church of God, which is what? At Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." In Colossians 1, 2, it says, "To the saints and faithful believers in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So this truth is affirmed very clearly in our text, right? In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 47. Okay? "Then they that gladly received his word, where Apostle Peter preached, they were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a powerful message. How the Holy Spirit descended so powerfully, so mightily, and used the word to draw 3,000 souls at one go. Right. Verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And the church you see here was a witnessing church. They gathered together. They had that oneness of spirit and of that body life. You're so vibrant. So much so it affected others. And especially their probably their household, their family members, their neighbors, they all came in. And fear came upon every soul, if you see the end at 47. So here we realize it's made up of the redeemed of God. Secondly, Christ is the Lord and head of his church. Right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. He said, Jesus Christ is the head over all things in the church, which is his body. So, it is very clear. The Apostle Paul declared in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, he says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Here we have the church in the broadest sense of the word, right? Including all the redeemed on earth, in heaven, and in all ages. Just men made perfect through Christ Jesus. They are sanctified. The church of the firstborn. So our Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price for our redemption. So in his address to the Ephesian elders, Apostle Paul spoke of the church of God, which he had purchased with his blood, right? With his own blood, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So as members of his body, we are individually answerable to God. Right? That's an area whereby it's a communion with you, between you and God. Because he is your Savior, he's your God, you're answerable to him. The church cannot answer for you, and nobody else answers for you. All right? Christ himself directs, governs, empowers, and controls each individual church, being the head. Right? However, there are also the corporate responsibility. Okay? Corporate meaning that it's vested in the Presbyterian context. Alright? Presbyterian, the word comes from the word presbyter, means elders. Alright? So, there's such a thing as a board of elders and there's a deacon's court in the proper constitution of the church, whereby the ordained officers form the main, all right, ruling governing body with the help and support of diaconos, all the deacons and deaconesses coming in there. Right? So it constitutes the leadership of the church. They have to govern and direct the work of the ministry, as well as to maintain order and administer discipline where it's required. So members therefore have to submit to this God's ordained authority in the church. So there should be order. There should be direction in the work of the ministry. Okay? Christ being the head of the church and his ordained officers vested in the what? Elders as well as deacons, in that sense of the word, of service. Okay, thirdly, every member must be fully committed in fellowship and service to the church and her ministry. One of the metaphors of the church is it's called the body, right? So, we are members of the same body. The body is alive, it's vibrant, it cruises through, it grows. But as well as it groans. Okay? So, in as far as it's concerned, it is struggling. There is no perfect church here upon the earth. Some people say, hey, look, I join a church only when it's perfect because there are a whole lot of hypocrites there. It's not easy, right? We are all depraved, we are all sinful. So, there's no such thing as a perfect church. The perfect church will only come when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So here, we see very clearly, the Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians that although they were individual members of the church, they were one in the body of Christ. We have just read that, right? 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and had many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Okay? And of course, the illustrations given is all various parts. The Lord, the head of the church, has given to every believer a place in the body life. Right? We are mutually dependent on one another. Right? Working together as one. Okay? Imagine if one member of our body has to do the work designed for another. Then you know that the person is handicapped. I've seen people without arms, but they can still sew. A lady, how? Has to use the foot. Right? So how absurd it is for us if we see our nose is used as our feet. Right? Our hands to see, our feet to eat. Of course, if you have armless, then you have to use that, right? So you have to understand, we are each different, and we are constituted differently, okay, right? We cannot go to the, we cannot go out of here without our feet. Although our desire, our head may say yes, I want to go out after the worship service and go downstairs. But if my feet does not want to work, my brain can think whatever it may be, wherever I want to go. If my feet do not move, then I will never be able to accomplish what I desire or what I desire to do. Right? So remember, in unity, there's diversity. In diversity, there is unity. So like parts of the body, we must each function according to our respective design for the benefit of the whole. Right? So we can see very clearly. With this metaphor in view in 1 Corinthians 12, it is important that we be of one mind and one heart in the Lord's service. No one should say, I come to church, I come to worship, I give my tithes, I'm very happy here, I walk in here, I'm welcome. So I don't need to do anything than that. Then after service, I disappear. I know one family, the mother, alone, she just attends church, walks in, the moment she disappears, he walks out. Right. But we know of some churches, they earmark certain areas. So you just land inside there, you don't expect to get out easy. Because the moment you enter there, you are a stranger. In that group of the first five rows here, and then they will chase after you. They will give you that warmth and fellowship. There are such churches. And it's good to draw that person in. I don't know whether you earmark your church that way, but I was told certain churches, they earmark it this way. In a way, it's good. Right? So, you are recognized, and they would extend their right hand of fellowship to you. And that's good. Right? So, a church is never meant to be a place where we keep to ourselves. We need one another to function in the body life. So, use our tithes, our talents, and our time to serve God, to extend the work of the gospel. It's good. You all have an outing, you all come together, and in a more relaxed way, you can share, you can talk, and you don't realize, you can play football so well. until you go to church camp, and I don't know that you can swim so well, and then all that kind of thing, and you may have mutual interest and discussion. Some of you may cook, and, you cook very nice mee siam. So, we look forward when you go to your house of fellowship. I hope we can cook mee siam for me. That kind of thing. So, it's good. Okay? So, as believers, we are ambassadors for the Lord as well. So, our testimony have to stand wherever we are. Especially when, as church groups, we go outside. It's very, very important. So, remember, the Lord's command is to love one another. A new commandment I gave unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 13, 34-35. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By these shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. The church is characterized by love. How are people going to find true love? Agapao love, except in the church. And we cannot manifest that. How are we going to witness to a watching world or to someone that comes into the midst? So it's very, very important for us to understand that. Why join a church? Okay. There are some Christians who do not see the need to join a church. They let the years go by without committing themselves to church membership. So what does the Bible say? In the New Testament, the church is defined as a spiritual family in that sense. Designed and intended by God for the work of the ministry, for the witness, and for the mutual encouragement of the brethren as they grow together in faith, in devotion, in mutual encouragement to proceed in our what? Walk of faith with the Lord, right? First of all, the corporate worship of God. We come together as a church in corporate worship. So one of the functions of the church is to provide an orderly corporate means of coming together to worship our God, to express our gratefulness, thanksgiving together as His body. What a joy together with God's people, so sing unto Him. It is a united, powerful witness to the world. Read Acts chapter 2 that we have read. Right? People from the outside, when they view the church, fear. How? These people can be so united. Right? So they witness to the world when believers gladly set aside their Sabbath to praise the Lord. It is also during corporate worship that the sacraments are administered. And these are important. Right? The two, water baptism, through which members are incorporated into the body life of the church. And then thereafter, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, which administers special grace. Okay, this is also not just a sacrament, but it's a means of grace upon the members. The Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 27c of the sacraments, right? The sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace, immediately instituted by God to represent Christ and His benefits, and confirm our interest in Him, as also to put a visible difference between those that belong unto the church and the rest of the world. He set us apart, right? And here in section 4 here, there be only two sacraments ordained by Christ our Lord, baptism and the supper of the Lord. Okay? So here we see the partaking of the means of grace. And we see in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, okay? And they, all right, the believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay? So, the partaking of the means of grace is the second aspect. Alright? You have corporate worship, you have sacraments, now you have the means of grace. Right? The Word of God, the Apostles' doctrines, they taught the doctrines, the foundations of our faith. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Right? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they build up their faith by understanding doctrines. That's why you have a basic Bible knowledge class before you accept a member into membership. Right? So we have to go through that course. All right? We have also in our church this kind of a practice, which is important for them to understand. Secondly, the fellowship or the communion of saints. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Right? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 to 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it's a mutual coming together with one heart, one mind, encouraging one another, praying for one another, sharing with one another. Not just in the prayer meeting, but in the ladies' fellowship, the youth fellowship. You come together with that kind of a view. You see your brethren struggling with the exams. Yes, let me pray for you. You see someone doing assignments. Last time I was in FCM, you know, ministering there as a Bible a teacher. And we see the year one struggling, you know, in the engineering department, trying to do a project. Thankfully, the year three one came in. brother, help you. These are some of the notes. These are some of the things that I can do to help. And the young man was so happy. You know, you have some brother, some sister coming in just to help you out. It's such a wonderful feeling to know that you are one in the Lord and there is someone there. Somehow, God, in the midst of all your struggles, hear that silent heart prayer. Probably. I don't know whether the young man prayed, but he was helped. And it was a wonderful thing. And I was very, very encouraged in this. Right. So these are the things, the communion of saints. Is there someone hurting? Is there someone feeling low? Do you know of someone that's certain struggling with certain aspects of their lives? Give a listening ear. Extend a warm welcome. You know, smile. Talk to them. It's wonderful. Right? You have a problem, so I have mine. In this world, it's like that. Help someone. Okay? Thirdly, the breaking of bread. And I've said, all right, we celebrate, we remember the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. And we are fulfilling that purpose when we serve the Lord's Supper. And then prayer. Pray for one another as well as for ministry of the church. Pray for your preacher, pastor, your elder, or whoever that's coming in to preach, ministers God's word. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Right? Pray for your outing. In everything by prayer and supplication. Right? Pray one for another. Okay? So this is important. Partaking of the means of grace. The exercise of discipline is the third aspect. The Lord, as head of the church, has put into the hands of the local church an authority and responsibility upon them as leaders to exercise discipline, to see to the order and proper running of the church. Instead, programs as well, they'll discuss and they'll say, hey, what are the needs? What's the camp team for this June, you know? And who do we invite? And they will come and they will discuss. What do we do with the accounts? You know, how do we do this and that, the other? So there will be a certain order. Where offenses occur among members, or if there's a problem between one member and another, and, you know, both come to you, there's a way in which we can settle, counsel them, get them back on track. Right? Right. So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we realize one of the members was disciplined. He was set aside. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. You see? So that is where the church leadership came in. Remember Apostle Paul struggled with whether can do this, and the Judaizers, you know, went to some of the churches and come up with all kinds of things and asked them to go and do all the, you know, first you become a Jew, a proselyte first, and then become like a Christian. He says, he referred back to where? All the way to the Jerusalem Council. And they aligned them. Alright? What you are supposed to do. So there is a reference point in as far as running of the church. Right? So belonging to a spiritual family, that's important. The church is like a family. We have been bought with the same price, the precious blood of Christ. We are heirs of the same inheritance. Right? We feel comfortable when we are at home with loved ones. Right. We know we are accepted by our brethren as they love and care for us as one in the Lord. What a blessing to belong to the family of God, to the church of God. Right? We feel for one another. Because when one suffer, the other suffer. When one rejoice, the other rejoice as well. And so there's the togetherness, the spirit that brought us together. It's the spirit of Christ, the spirit of love, care and concern. Do we belong to a church? I don't know, I'm asking maybe someone here who's not yet a church member or striving to, you know, go to your basic Bible knowledge class. Why? If not, why not? What is holding us back from committing ourselves to the church membership? Is it fear of commitment? Oh, once if I become a church member, I must be responsible for this, that, the other. God's word in Acts 2.41 says, it's very, very clear. They gladly received his word, were what? Baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Unto who? Unto the church. Right? Their faith was shown in their obedience to enter into the body life of Christ. Their believing faith was active. How? It's seen in obedience. Okay? No saying, I believe. No need baptism. Once saved, always saved. Right? We are Calvinists. You know, we believe in the sovereignty of God. Salvation is assured. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So no need baptism. No need church membership. Right? I have a ticket to heaven already. I received Jesus Christ. I said my sinner's prayer. Good enough. Is that it? Believing faith stirs us to obedience. They that gladly received the word were what? Baptized and added to the church. Was there a pause and say, hey, 3-year wait, 5-year probation period? No. We are commanded by the Lord to join ourselves to His people in church membership, to enjoy the privileges, to partake of the sacraments and the means of grace, moreover, to love and to serve the Lord together as His people. We cannot imagine, right, a limb or part of the body being disconnected and kept somewhere apart from the body. You realize that they found the body in the suitcase. Right. It's gruesome. And it is therefore inconceivable that a Christian should say, I'm a Christian, then he should opt out being a church member. I don't mean to highlight anyone. I don't mean to, you know, disparage anybody. But here, very clearly, this is God's very, very clear teachings of His Word. Right? And as a minister of the gospel, I will preach the truth and sell it. Okay? Some observation, okay? Before I end. Nowadays, it's common for Christians to attend another church other than their own home church, okay? I'm saying this. I know of people who attend a church that is near their home because their own church is too far away, too inconvenient. So now I shifted here. The church is just walking distance, or I just take a bus down, MRT straight, plong there. So no need to go to my own church. This church is so near. Why should I? Save time, save money, save all the hassle. There are also Christians who attend an evening service in another church. Why? No, my children cannot wake up. Very difficult. No. They'll wake up, they'll cry. All the hassle. Never mind. Let me attend another church. They have no qualms about going to attend another church. Because why? Well, I worship God. I observe the Sabbath. I attended church, you know. But which church? No, the church nearby. The afternoon service, the whatever. Right? Where is the loyalty? What happens if all the church members think this way? Can you imagine? Then what? One day this half don't come. Next day this half. They think the other way. Right? When members are not committed, they take their church membership lightly. And then when problem, they run around and say, hey, where's the pastor? How come the pastor never pray for me? How come this? It's like that. Right? Who then is going to serve in the church? If members think it that way. Right? The body life is affected. The work of the ministry is hindered. Who is going to serve in the church? The work of God suffers. Well, whatever it is, I end with this. God has placed us in a particular congregation according to His own good purpose, according to His will, according to His leading. You are where you are by God's grace. That's why Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not of choice. Why are you here today? Somebody, somehow, relative, auntie, uncle, brought you here. or your daddy is here, you grew up here in this church, you've got nowhere else to go. Whatever it is always God's will. You are here because of that. So let's serve Him faithfully where He has placed us. Let us partake of the means of grace. Enjoy the privileges of being a part of the family of God in the church. May the Lord touch our hearts, speak to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou open our hearts to the truth. O Lord, we realize that here in this world, there's no perfect church. For our own individual lives too, we often struggle. But we are thankful that Thou hast called us together to be Thy people. And we pray that Thou will help us, that as a church, we will serve Thee in unity despite our diversity, in oneness of heart and mind of our spirit, to do the will of God and to do the work of God. Bless also, Lord, the leadership of this church, that they may truly be an encouragement to their brethren here, to set examples for them, to guide and lead them, and all the various ministries in the church as well. Lord, we also want to pray for the ACM afterwards, that all things will run according to Thy good order. And Lord, all things will be smooth, the reports and all, and even the election will go the way in which You will be well-pleasing in Thy sight. For all these things we commit to Thy gracious hand, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.